Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and very welcome to the presentation on Telenor's first quarter results, whether you are being present here at Fornebu or following us on the internet or on telephone. My name is Gottfred Engebretsen, and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has a copy of the material that we have made available for you. That is our press release, the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation to be used here any minute. Now, in addition to attend the presentation here at our headquarters, we have a few options for you, as usual. You may also watch the presentation live or in recording, on either the internet or on a mobile phone capable of showing live video. If you are using internet, you also have the opportunity to send in written questions during the transmission, and you'll find information on these alternatives on our website. There will be a Q&A session after the presentation, first here from the audience present, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, of course, the opportunity to conduct individual interviews afterwards. Now let's have a look at our first quarter results in more detail, and to present the figures, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Trond Vestli, and today Mr. Vestli will start. So I leave the floor to you, Trond.
Thank you very much, Scott, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As you see, we changed the sequence a bit this quarter, and taking the financials first. The reason for that is that it's the first quarter that we present the numbers without keeping our numbers in the reported figures. So we would like to go through the details in the development before going into the group overview. We have also made estimates on the Kyivstar numbers in the first quarter and prepared some pro forma numbers for you. But first, looking into the reported figures on the first quarter, we see a continued high underlying growth. Reported growth in the quarter is 5%, and the underlying growth for the reported companies has a growth of 12%, or a gross increase of 1.2 billion in revenue. The EBITDA margin is recorded 31.3%, and EBITDA margin before other income and expenses is 32%. Then moving over to the pro forma numbers. We have made estimates on the first quarter numbers for Kyivstar. The numbers you will find on this slide down to the left. The basis for our estimate is generally our good understanding of the company, but is also referenced by customer statistics from AT&M, which we see as a good benchmark. We also have a very good overview of the price development and the price and the campaigns that Kyivstar has done in this quarter. And it gives us enough information to estimate the revenue this quarter at 2.8 billion Norwegian kroner. Going to the EBITDA and the cost side, we already have an overview of the budget in 2007. And combining that with the marketing and ad campaigns, we have a good overview of the cost structure in Kyivstar, the first quarter. And with that, we have estimated the margin on the EBITDA in the range of 58 to 60% in the first quarter. We have used 58% in our estimate in the first quarter, giving us 1.6 billion Norwegian kroner. We have also included the CapEx, our CapEx estimate of 1 billion Norwegian quarter in the first quarter. And combining these estimates with the Kyivstar numbers, with the reported figures, is giving us the pro forma numbers and a revenue growth of approximately 19%. The underlying growth is then 14% year over year. and the numbers reaching the revenue numbers then reaching 25.3 billion Norwegian kroner. The pro forma EBITDA numbers for is then before income and expenses approximately 35%. Going then to the development and the contributors for this revenue development, the revenue goes then from 21.3 billion Norwegian kroner, and with an increase, nominal increase of almost 4 billion Norwegian kroner to 25.3 billion Norwegian kroner. The main contributor this quarter is DTAC due to the implementation of the interconnect, but also due to organic growth with 4.4%. Telenor Serbia is the acquired growth since we acquired Serbia in the third quarter last year with a growth of 3.1%. With our estimates, Keystore is contributing 2.2% from last year, and Telenor Pakistan is also contributing 2.2%, or approximately 470 million Norwegian kroners. Then DG, Swedish Mobile, and Grameen is also huge contributors, reaching then a growth of reported or the pro forma revenue development, a growth of 19%. Going further to the same kind of development on the pro forma EBITDA, going from 7.7 billion to almost 8.7 billion. Keystar is contributing almost 200 million. Telenor Serbia, 252 million in the increase. DG, 176. Swedish Mobile, 164. So it's a good development in many of the operations. The EBITDA going from 7.7 to 8.7, it's an increase of 12% in the EBITDA development. When it comes to the step-by-step development for reported figures on the revenue and the EBITDA, it is enclosed in the appendix to this presentation. Then looking at the reported P&L again, as I said, the revenue base of 22.4 billion Norwegian kroners, an EBITDA of 7 billion, and an EBIT of 3.6 billion. Then we have an increase from the EBIT to the profit before tax to 4.2 billion. That is due to the associated companies, basically VimpelCom, and also a positive net income from the finance as a result of our total return swap in underlying VimpelCom shares. Leaves us at a net income of 2.7 billion. That gives an earnings per share of 1 krona and 57 öre. Comparing to the first quarter of 2006, you see that the earnings per share were 2 krona and 15 öre. That was due to the sale of the Inmarsat shares in the first quarter. If we then exclude or trying to compare the earnings per share in the 2 years, taking the extras out on the first quarter of 2006, it goes down to 1 krona and 8 öre. Comparing that to the first quarter of 2007 and including our estimated figures on Keystar, it gives us an earnings per share of 1 krona and 49 öre. And that's basically growth of more than 35%. Then closing my first part on the outlook of 2007. As a result of the implementation of interconnect regime in Thailand, we have slightly adjusted the reported revenue growth to the range of 3 to 5%. From previously 0 to 5%. These numbers are of course based on that Keystar number is included in 2006 numbers and not included in 2007 numbers. The EBITDA margins remains at around 32% level, and CapEx to sales remains at around 20% range level. And with that introduction, I'll leave the floor to the group over here and you try.
Thank you, John. Good morning to all of you. The growth I mentioned in the Telenor group continues. More than 8 million new subscribers in this quarter is a very strong figure and shows that our companies are handling local competition very well. The main contributors to this growth in this quarter is Pakistan with 2.4 million new subscribers, DTAC with 1.5, as well as Grameenphone with the same figure. I shall now briefly comment upon four operational aspects. First, Telenor Pakistan reaching the EBITDA break-even this quarter. Two, the competitive situation in Bangladesh. I will also comment on the expectations for TSR going forward and the trends in the fixed line Norway. Beginning then with Pakistan, which has a tremendous customer growth this quarter. And I have to congratulate Tori Olsen and his team for bringing this together. Telenor Pakistan reached by a fraction EBITDA break-even this quarter, which was also a target for us to reach break-even during 2007. All parameters are strong. We have been able to connect a high number, a high portion of net new subscribers, building market share to 16%. Rather than officially, we believe that this figure is more like 20% according to estimates. And this 20% was also our original market share target for 2009. So the customer growth in Pakistan has been much stronger than the original anticipation. A record high 2.4 million new subscribers. At the same time as ARPU increased slightly to $4.6, is a very strong combination. We thus believe the business case to be strengthened with this performance going forward from here.
Yeah, dark one. Here we are.
In Bangladesh, the competition has intensified, putting a strong pressure on prices in this quarter, 17% in Q1 alone. High traffic has not compensated in full for this, and high traffic has the effect of also building CapEx to handle the traffic growth going forward. Grameenphone has a high number of new subscribers, maintaining the market share above 60%. We will have to expect the market to stay very competitive, also knowing that Wari, our competitor from Pakistan, will be expected to launch services sometime this year. The enforcement of the new SIM SIM card tax for all players, all service providers in Bangladesh, may stabilize the competition to a certain degree. In Kyivstar, the Kyivstar figures are based on Telenor estimates. The high number of new subscribers in fourth quarter, towards the end in particular of fourth quarter, is inevitable to create churn in this quarter, thus leading to a fairly low number of new subscribers for this quarter, according to our estimates. From this reason, we expect ARPU to increase somewhat in second quarter, according to the same pattern as we had last year. Still, we will believe penetration will grow from the estimated 64% penetration among populations. Moving then to Scandinavia, and there are some comments on fixed line in Norway, I want to say the following. The trend of the top line pressure of fixed line services in Norway is quite stable. 5.7% revenue reduction this quarter. The drivers for this being more or less the same as before, fixed to mobile migration, as well as voice over IP and broadband services taking the scene. In September last year, we initiated efforts to better align plain-old telephony prices and voice over IP prices. This has led to a lower speed of reduction of plain-old telephony connections compared to what was the case mid-2006. This realignment of prices reduces ARPU though with approximately 30 kroner. Per connected line. However, in line with the top line pressure, we maintain a steady course on realizing the targeted cost reductions of gross 1.5 billion Norwegian crowns within 2007 compared to the cost structure in 2004. And this takes us a good way, this quarter takes us in particular in good way towards a margin of around 35% for the full year. To summarize, including Kyivstar estimated figures, we have, as Trond described, a pro forma revenue growth of 19%, underlying 14%. In Central Pakistan, we have reached break-even on the EBITDA level, and we feel that the business strain case has been strengthened. The cost savings in fixed are on track, and as a final remark, we maintain the outlook for 2007. Thank you.
Thank you, Fredrik. We're now ready to take your questions, so I invite Mr. Vestley back on the podium. And we will start with questions from the audience here. And before you take your questions, please be so kind to introduce yourself. Yes, we have a question here, please. We have a microphone also. Please wait for the microphone.
One on the which seems to be a bit more competitive than the and also with the outlook. Seems to increase the range somewhat from 0 to 5% to 3 to 5%. Is that purely a technicality on the Thailand disconnect regime, or is there something more behind that? And also, if you comment on what you can on the Iranian legal development, if there are any important dates or milestones we should look out for.
Okay, we'll start with the outlook. The change from 0 to 5 to 3.5 is basically to take out the downside relative to the increased revenue development in Thailand. So it's a purely technical thing as a result of having the interconnect starting in February.
If I then move on to the Norwegian domestic market for mobile services, the competitive situation in first quarter is slightly different from what it was last year. We have concentrated on building customer communities around the family concept, and we feel that we've done that quite successfully, being able to combine also the fixed number into the package of numbers that we are offering. This is a slightly different competitive model than what we executed upon in 2006, reducing to a certain extent the sales and acquisition cost. But it has the effect that the average revenue per user are under pressure because of the average revenue per minute is being reduced. So we are happy about the competitive situation as such, because it is very competitive and the way we have handled it. But it has the consequence that the growth dimension on top line will be slightly lower this year than it was for 2006. If we then move to Ukraine, there is not much new to report on the legal situation in Ukraine. There will be a hearing on the injunction that came towards the end of the year, now mid-May, and we are both expecting and confident that when that hearing comes and the facts around the case will be here, we do believe that on the injunction that came towards the end of the year, now mid-May, and we are both expecting and confident that when that hearing comes and the facts around the case will be here. We do believe that such a hearing injunction that came towards the end of the year, now mid-May, and we are
seeing that when this case is heard,
we of course both expect and have confidence in the fact that this injunction will be lifted. Yeah, that was all your elements on it.
Other questions from the audience? Please. Hi, this is Gordon from Carnegie. I have a simple question regarding Bangladesh. Obviously, looking at the sequential decline in ARPU, and you mentioned the campaigning, the competition as well, could you comment more specifically on, you know, specifics this quarter that has impacted the ARPU in such a negative sense? And also comment also on the future based on that.
The Bangladeshi market is sort of heading towards a phase in its development which we have seen of similar characteristics in other markets. Penetration has passed 10%. And we do have to expect that we will have a period with that many number of service providers in the marketplace, which will be campaigning aggressively on prices. The other side of this coin is that the SIM card activation charge, in our mind, will constitute a certain floor as to how far such a competitive situation will reach. And with the Grameen phone position in the marketplace, we being the obvious target for the other players, we will have to expect that this kind of pressure will prevail through a period when also another player will come to the marketplace. The other side of this coin is that us, Grameen phone, being the market leader, having the highest number of voice minutes and of course also the market share in the marketplace, will be exposed to these kind of competitive situations. But Grameenphone is a very strong concept in Bangladesh, and the margin that we had for this quarter, which is 50% plus, is still a very strong margin compared to this competitive situation overall.
Please, have a question over here. Bruce Easton, Terra Security. Texas Instruments is rolling out a new chip with much smaller dimensions that's going into high production starting in April, so that will allow a whole lot of new phones from Nokia that can cut their, can be sold at cheaper prices. Is that something that can give a big boost to subscriber growth in a country like Pakistan or Bangladesh with these phones hitting the market in the second quarter? Do you have any special expectations there?
The industry has been pushing for lower handset prices, and Motorola initiative a couple of years ago reaching below $30 per piece was sort of one benchmark underway. And to have cheaper handsets is, of course, opening up for new segments in these markets. But at the same time, the quality of the handsets has to be good, in particular the battery capacity. We cannot compensate that part of the handset. So if these new chips also handle that challenge, these will for sure open new segments.
Seems like there's no further questions from the audience
person, so I then call upon the conference host to introduce the questions from the participants on the phone, please.
Good morning, James Rivett here, Citigroup. I just got a couple of questions. The first is on sort of a guidance clarification, if that's possible. I don't fully understand how you can be guiding revenues higher purely on the back of these high-end connection raises, yet there being absolutely no change in margins. Is there something else going on within those numbers that I'm missing, or am I just being dumb quite likely? The second question is on Pakistani mobile, where you've clearly outperformed. Do you think that within this you are sort of taking up your implicit assumption for long-term profitability, free cash flow generation within this business? And then just finally on Bangladeshi Mobile, are there any signs today that the reintroduction of the $15 handset tax are moving us towards a more rational market, or is this still just a hope that you have? Thanks very much.
Tom can comment on specifics around the guidance related to the changes in interconnect in Thailand. But before you do that, the outperformance in Pakistan we feel is a very strong performance. We are very, very happy that Tore Johnsen and his team have been able to attract this high number of new customers, of course. At the same time as the ARPU is staying and even improving slightly, which is in a way contrary to what has happened in other growth phases of other markets. When it comes to the business case as such, and in my comments about this case being strengthened, this is, of course, based upon the fact that we have reached our market share targets at an earlier stage than we originally envisaged. That also means, though, that the CapEx going forward here will be at another level that we had in the original business case, because the number of customers and the volume of traffic and the coverage has moved at a higher pace at the same time. This will mean that the investment in the network for Pakistan will grow at the same time as we grow in market position, of course. We haven't, though, revised and said anything new about the business case as such at this occasion. In Bangladesh, we don't yet see that the SIM card activation tax has led to the characteristics that you mentioned.
Coming to the outlook, as I said earlier, it's more a technical adjustment, since we now have the effect of the implementation of the interconnect As we said previously, we're specific about the uncertainty of how much the interconnect will influence our group number as a result of implementation in pilot. And that was the main effect of having a variance between 0 and 5. Since we now have that implemented, we're just lifting the 0 to 3% and still guide on the 5% or the 3 to 5% level. And as we see it, it's more a technical adjustment as a result of that implementation.
Thank you. Okay, next question, please.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I've got two questions. The first one concerns DG, and could you give us some updates about the ownership issue over there? What is happening between you, the government, and any other partners? And the second question regards the fixed line business. You just said that the revenue is down nearly 6%, between 5 and 6% on an underlying basis. Do you see that continuing throughout the year? And could you give us an update as to how much savings, gross savings, you have today since you started the implementation of the program?
In Digi, the ownership issue and the ownership question is still a topic between ourselves and the government, and we are very satisfied with the climate and the way this question is being addressed for the time being. That also includes the possibility of the 3G question for the Malaysian marketplace. Even though we don't have the final statement that is required to resolve this issue in full. As for fixed, reaching for the 1.5 billion, if you take the run rate of the OPEX in fixed for first quarter 2007 and compare it with the run rate of OPEX in 2004, you more or less see that the existing OPEX level of fixed is close to a run rate reaching the 1.5 gross savings towards the end of this year. So basically, in our plans, we have a good overview on what our actions will be for 2007 to reach this. Going forward from here, we will have to expect that the top-line revenue pressure will be part of the daily life of big services in Norway, at least for another 2 to 3 years. And in that perspective, we are now working with establishing a plan on actions for cost savings also in the period for 2008, 2009, and 2010, which we will have to come back to at a later stage.
Do you think you will come back to us on the Capital Markets Day on this, or because that's all what you usually do over the last time?
Can you repeat that, please?
Would you update us during your Capital Markets Day in about 3 weeks' time, that like you did some years ago?
Whether we will be ready for a complete package at that Capital Markets Day, I am in doubt of. But on the other hand, we are working with this, and we will come back in due course.
Thank you.
Good morning. I have three questions. One is on the Bangladeshi syntax issue again. Could you just elaborate a bit on the timing, in particular when you would expect competitors to actually start paying it? I understand there's still the issue that the rule is there and they don't pay it. Confirm or correct me if I'm wrong on that count. Second, on Norwegian Mobile, you're talking about some impact here from increased off-net traffic, the mobile termination rates, and also sales and marketing sort of pressurizing the EBITDA this quarter. Could you give us a sort of a feeling what the split between the two impacts was, whether both of them were material or whether one of them really had sort of the majority of the impact on the cost increases in Norwegian Mobile? And my last one would be, with regards to the hearing in Ukraine on the injunction that you talked about, could you just elaborate which of the, I understand, three injunctions this hearing would be about? Is it just the one that determines the flow of financial information, or is it one of the other two? Thank you.
In Bangladesh, the target is, of course, that there will be a level playing field between all players. And as it has been over the last period, we have done accruals for this SIM card tax in the account of Grameenphone. But since this is not a tax that has been paid by other players, this question has been an open one for quite some time. Now there has been a ruling towards the market that all players are enforced to pay the SIM card activation charge. And of course we will follow that very closely, that there is actually a level playing field on these scores that actually are being carried through. And based upon those assumptions, we could assume that others will also understand the impact of such a SIM card activation charge, and also the first question that I got here today. When it comes to Telenor Mobile in Norway, I have to refer that question to investor relations at a later stage, if that's okay with you. In Ukraine, it is the injunction, it is about the access to financial information which are now being to be, that now is going to be heard in Kiev. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Patrick, dear answer.
Yeah, hi, it's Maurice Patrick from Bear Stearns. I guess, first of all, could you quantify the impact which Telenor's acquisition of Debitel will have on Sonophone? And also, in terms of a share buyback, would you rule out a share buyback given where your leverage currently is? I know in the past you said it wasn't something that you were considering. Is that something now you would consider? Thank you.
No. Well, on the Debitel impact on Sonophone, the migration from Sonophone to Telenor will, of course, have an impact over time. The estimated effect of that, I believe, is around an EBITDA effect of 70 million, or around that in Danish kroners. When that comes during the year, because if they want to migrate rapidly, they have to change the SIM cards. If they do it on a churn basis, they just churn it out. So basically, it's a matter of how they do it and the time limit for that.
And share buyback?
Well, the share buyback program is still on hold. And we have made no other evaluation of that program being initiated at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Peterson, Captain Bank.
Yes, hello, this is Stefan Peterson, Captain Bank. Most of my questions have been answered. I wonder if you could give us a little bit more information on the Pakistani market, your view on this market going forward, given China Mobile entry, especially in terms of your subscriber growth.
Yeah, the China Mobile coming to Pakistan is, of course, their first international step to take. That doesn't add an extra player in the marketplace, but we do assume that it will activate this player. It will be very interesting to see how they will move when they approach a market outside of China. So I have no further speculation on that, basically, other than us
doing the best work that we possibly can to build on the solid market position that we have managed to establish over such a short period of time, only being in operation for a few years.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mulderayan, Standard & Poor's.
Yes, this is Bank Mulderayan from Standard & Poor's. Just if you could give some update here on the situation when it comes to Bangladesh, where she can be informed there, and the issues around the ownership and the Grameen Bank and the potential listing in Dhaka there. And then secondly, when it comes to Deepak Thailand, what is your relation there with the authorities and the complex ownership, and that you will be still owning more than 50% of the operation there going forward? What is the status there in the view in relation to the authorities? And then thirdly, can you give any view, update there on the situation in Vietnam? Is there any progress there, or has your anything new to report regarding that? Thank you.
If I start on Bangladesh, maybe Chung will take the DTAC question. The Bangladeshi ownership question that has been on the table since it was addressed by our partner in December last year is still there. We have both before December last year and this year declared that it will be of our interest to list Grameenphone in the local marketplace in Dhaka. And this process is now underway to be investigated and will have its progress the way we see it. As you know, there is a caretaker government in Bangladesh in place in this period, and the discussions with this government have to take place in that setting. For Vietnam, there is no progress, as we can see, for the possibility of international players coming into the Vietnamese mobile communication market this year. It seems that the timeline for this has been stretched. We are still interested and we are still present in order to build further on the Asian position that we have in the four markets already.
When it comes to the ownership discussions or issues in Thailand, we basically have no news to report. It's the same situation is that our legal structure is set up according to Thai law and regulations. And if, in fact, they are going to change anything about those legal environments, we have to comply with it when they do. But other than that, the structure and the ownership structure we have in Thailand is according, fully according to Thailand law.
If I may follow up there, and also after the IPO, the planned IPO here in June, July, that your ownership issue, have you cleared up with the authorities also?
As we believe, the legal structure is fully compliant. There is nothing to discuss with the government, and the IPO as such will not affect that issue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I just have a question regarding the new campaigns. We see more and more campaigns with 3 minutes. In Ukraine, you launched a new campaign mid-April, 3 minutes within the network, and also in Bangladesh, you have 300 minutes free to a limited number of friends. How will that affect ARPU going forward the coming quarters? Should you see a further drop in ARPU in Ukraine and Bangladesh due to this, or is that already in the Q1 figures? Thanks.
Well, 3 minutes will always put the pressure on ARPU. That's the mechanics of that, unfortunately. In Ukraine, as I said during my presentation, we do expect that because of the churnout of customers that we have to expect in this period because of the high customer acquisition activities that took place in particular the last 14 days of 2006, we anticipate that there will be a slight increase in ARPU in second quarter, more or less according to the pattern that we had in 2006. In Bangladesh, though, the situation will put the pressure on ARPU also in the quarters to come in 2007.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Frankfurt and Bernstein?
Thank you. A couple of questions, if I can. Firstly, could you talk a little bit about some of the demands that you're seeing on capacity and CapEx in emerging markets, perhaps to do with some of the customer behavior around the busy hour, and whether you see that as a phase that we're in right now with the penetration curve, where it is that might then smooth out over time? And then separately, could you update us a little bit on the status of mobile number portability in Pakistan and how you see that playing through perhaps as an opportunity for you in the metro areas during the course of this year? Thank you.
Maybe John can comment on the CapEx side of the question. I will give a short comment on the portability issue in Pakistan. Generally speaking, number portability will favor the guys with the smaller market share in the marketplace. But the other side of this coin is that number portability has generally been overestimated as to its effect on the competitive situation. We believe that in Pakistan in particular, the good quality network is our number one sales point for the time being. Also being able to balance coverage and marketing activities quite efficiently. And that has proved to work very good over the last quarters in Pakistan. So we cannot say that the reason for us climbing the ladder market share wise is because of the number portability issue. This is a growth issue that earns us this position.
When it comes to the combination of capacity demand and capex, it's of course the capacity demand and the growth in the capacity that drives a lot of our capex. Some of it is due to increase in the emerging markets so that the market is growing, but of course we also see the capex demand as a result of capacity driven also amongst others in more mature markets. We don't expect that to drive the capex dramatically or increase our sort of guidance on the 20% sales, capex sales. But we see that the drive for capacity is going to maintain probably the level of capex during a longer period of time than we expected in the emerging market. But it's not. We don't see that as driving the capex in excess of what we already have anticipated.
Thank you.
Mr. Bluestone, HSBC.
Oh, hi there. Jacob Bluestone from HSBC. If I can just ask a question relating to Ulrich's question on the date of the injunction, where you said that the hearing in mid-May relates to the access to financial information. Do you have a date for a court hearing on the other two injunctions?
I'm not on top of that detail. Unfortunately, I have to come back to you on that issue.
Okay.
Mr.
Good morning. I've got a few questions on the Swedish operation, please. Telenor seems to have had a pretty quiet quarter for customer acquisition in Q1. So do you plan to increase levels of customer investment or hold them steady for the rest of the year? Secondly, do you see pricing pressure reducing in the Swedish market? And third, do you think underlying revenue growth at the double-digit levels you've
recorded for Q1 is sustainable for this year. Thanks.
Yeah, it was very hard to hear your questions. Can you? We understood that the first one was about Swedish customer development.
That's right. Can you just tell me whether you plan to hold levels of customer investment steady for this year, or do you actually expect to increase them to increase market share? The second question, if you didn't catch that, was whether you've seen any reduction in pricing pressure in Swedish mobile. And the third question was around revenue growth. Do you think you can sustain double-digit revenue growth for 2007?
As for market share, we do have the ambition of climbing the ladder when it comes to market share. Also, combining and using VocalNet as a distributive arm of the mobile services. But on the other hand, we don't want to bring an exposure to the margin to that development of the sort of an uncontrolled situation, so we very much control of that. As to the ability of maintaining a double-digit growth dimension, of course, it will be a target to stay at that level, and we will be working in that direction. But on the other hand, I will guarantee that for full in the quarters to come. So I think you will have to see us executing in a balanced way, market share, margin, and revenue growth. As to the price pressure, it cannot be said that the price pressure is soft in Sweden. But you can basically say that it's slightly better than it was 1 year ago, or even before that.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Nils von Schildern.
Thank you, Mr. Nils von Schildern. Just a couple of margin questions at this stage, please. Firstly, on the Norwegian fixed line business, where we've obviously seen a strong margin recovery, would you say frankly, that the issues that sort of dogged the Q4 results, the higher fall claims, etc., fall rates, etc., are out of the way, and was a one-quarter issue which are not likely to repeat it? Would you feel confident enough to say that? And secondly, at the last set of results, you also expressed, how should I say, lower confidence or visibility of the broadcast division, where you said, yeah, basically that visibility had come down in terms of the structural development within these markets. And again, there's been some recovery. Are you feeling a bit more confident on that business at this stage? And just finally, I assume, given that you've given no new comments on this, that there is no momentum or change in momentum in your discussions with the Alpha Group overall. I mean, not just related to the Kristian Junctions. Thank you.
Beginning on broadcast, yes, the fourth quarter, both for broadcast and for fixed line, gave us additional operational expenses that were a bit too high. We have tried to get around that and contain it much better entering 2007. So yes, we are more confident on that issue beginning of 2007. As for fixed in particular, the stability of the network has been quite different in the third quarter than what it was in fourth quarter. But this has also to be seen in combination with that the level of activities in the network in fourth quarter is generally much higher than what it is in the first quarter, thus reducing the fall rate. Our internal statistics for fourth quarter is much better than what they were average in 2006 on all scores, leading to a much better call structure in first quarter. And of course, it is our ambition to move forward on that very good phase. As to your last element, there is nothing new to approach on the issue around Alpha Ultima, other than there are these court cases going on, both in Ukraine one coming up under the Russian Supreme Court, expected this year, and of course what's going on in the United States. But there are also contacts between ourselves on other levels. So yes, there are some contacts, but we don't have anything new to report on that score.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That concludes the Q&A session. I'd also like to take the opportunity to welcome you all back here to Fornebu on May 25th, when we will have our Capital Markets Day. This will also be broadcast on the internet. Okay, thank you all for participating.